This is the NBC Theater. From the NBC Theater in Hollywood, an hour-length dramatization of Rudyard Kipling's The Light That Failed. This work is noteworthy not only as typical Kipling, but because in different editions it has different endings. In one edition it ends happily, in another on a tragic note. We have chosen the ending of the 1892 edition, the heroic ending, that is. For an interpretation of that, we refer you to the last scene of this broadcast. Today's adaptation is by George Lefferts of NBC. And at intermission, a transcribed commentary on the writings of Rudyard Kipling by Mr. Henry Outland, noted critic and commentary. Here then, The Light That Failed by Rudyard Kipling.
Brought the lances down, then the bugles blew. When we went to Kandahar, riding two and two, riding, 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 riding two and two.
All right, next stretcher. Bring him in. Lively, lively. Set him down.
Can you take him right away, sir? His head's badly cut.
Officer?
No, he's a correspondent. Draw sketches for my syndicate.
What's his name?
Helder. Dick Helder.
Oh, yes. I've seen some of his work. He's very good. All right. Let's have a look at him.
Oh.
Easy. How did he get that gash?
Arab sword, sir.
What was a correspondent doing in the front rank?
We handle our share when trouble comes, sir.
I see. All right, boys. Get him on the operating table. He'll take a bit of work.
Maisie.
Maisie, Dickie boy.
Maisie?
Who's Maisie?
Some girl he knew back in England, I suppose. He's known enough of them. I never heard him mention Maisie, though.
Maisie.
All right. Anesthetic. Count with me. Slowly. One.
One.
Two.
Two.
Three.
Four.
Five.
Maisie.
Six.
Maisie.
Seven.
Oh, Dick, we really oughtn't to be playing with a pistol and cartridges.
Nobody need know.
If Mrs. Jennett ever found out...
A pox on Mrs. Jennett.
What a dreadful thing to say about one's own guardian.
She's your guardian, too. And I've heard you call her worse. I'm going to take another shot at the ocean. Stand back.
Dick, now don't.
Stand back. Next holidays, we'll get a better pistol. Central fire. It'll carry further.
There won't be any next holidays for me.
Why not?
Because my lawyers have written to Mrs. Jennett that I must be sent off to be educated.
But then I shall be left alone.
I'll see you again when I've been educated.
And you shall be alone too.
Don't say that, Dick. I'm quite miserable enough.
Because you're going away from Mrs. Jennett?
No.
From me, then?
Well, I don't know. I suppose...
But you must know. I'm not supposing. We've been together so many years now. I've always cared for you terribly.
I don't believe you ever did. You were always teasing me.
But I care awfully, Maisie. Awfully. I've always wanted to kiss you.
Oh, no, Dick. Please don't.
It was all right this morning when I kissed you.
But that was good morning.
Is it different now?
Yes.
Mayn't I kiss you once? For goodbye.
No, it wouldn't be. Oh, Dick, I don't want to go away from you and Amama. I don't.
12, 13,
14. Maisie.
He's coming out of it now. I'll leave you with him.
Thank you, sir.
Maisie. My head.
Oh. You're all right now, Dickie.
Top?
Yes, Dick.
Top.
Thorpe, look out for that Arab. Oh. Where is this?
You're in the hospital in Cairo. You've had a bad cut on the head. You'll be all right.
Cairo? How long?
4 days.
4 days? The battle?
We won easily.
My sketches?
All safe. I have them here.
Oh, thank heaven.
I have some good news for you.
Impossible.
We've had a wire from the syndicate.
I'm fired.
No. They asked me to return to England.
Good news for me?
I'm to bring you with me.
What?
Easy. You're a sick man.
Go on.
Your sketches have caught on. People are saying you have a fresh touch and a new way of drawing things. The syndicate wants you to go back to do book illustrations.
In England?
Be good to get back after 4 years of broiling on the Egyptian desert, won't it?
Yes. Yes, it will.
I'm glad we're going together, Dickie. I should miss you if we weren't.
We can room together.
By the way, who is Maisie?
Maisie?
You kept repeating her name.
Oh. Oh! Oh, no one. Just a little girl I used to know.
Well, this apartment is a big box, really, but I suppose it'll be comfortable enough here. There's your skylight, or your north light, or whatever you call it. Window overlooking the Thames, enough room to thrash around in, and 2 bedrooms beyond.
Good enough.
I gave the address to the syndicate man. He should be... Well, he's a prompt one.
Rowley, Central Syndicate. You're Mr. Helder?
No, I'm Mr. Torpenhow. That's Mr. Helder.
Ah, delighted. Excuse my puffing. 7 flights, you know. Ah, great admirer, Mr. Helder. I trust you won't forget we were instrumental in bringing you before the public.
Sorry, I can't offer you a chair. We aren't furnished yet. As for my forgetting how instrumental you were, the syndicate paid me so handsomely, I really couldn't forget them.
Oh, of course.
I should like my sketches returned, incidentally. 150.
Dick.
I've had a better offer from another firm.
What?
Well, in the absence of any specified agreement, the sketches remain our property, of course.
The devil they do.
We are thinking of selling them.
Now, look here. You engage me by wire. You paid me the lowest rate you dared. You can't mean to keep them. Good heavens, man, they're all I've got in the world.
Speaking for the syndicate.
You will be good enough to give me my sketches.
Mr. Heller.
It's a cold-blooded steal. You will return them.
Be careful, Dick. This isn't the Sudan.
Considering the great service the syndicate has done you in putting your name before the world.
Mr. Rowley, I don't know whether to kill you or just...
Sir!
Look at the fat on him, will you, Torp? Oh. I don't know how he dares to be a thief. I've seen an Esner camel driver have the hide torn off him in strips for stealing 1/2 pound of wet dates.
Take your hands off me!
Now, sir, unless you want the life squeezed out of you...
No!
You will write a note to your office this moment. Here's a pencil. Wait a minute till your hand stops trembling. Now... Order them to give Mr. Torpenhauer every one of my sketches. Right! Oh.
I don't know how you got away with it, Dick. I must say...
He was interfering with me. Now, let's see these sketches.
Oh, they're good, Torp. Better than I remember them.
I shall have an exhibition. I shall sell every one of them and become independently wealthy. How would you begin, Torp?
If I were you, Dick, I would begin by going out and praying to be delivered for the most fabulous arrogance I've ever seen in a man. But knowing you from 4 years of battle, I imagine you'll come up on your feet and be exactly as you say, a great success. Well, Dick, how does it feel to have sold your first paintings?
Good. I want more, heaps more. Enough to make up for all the lean, miserable years when I was a struggling, unwanted orphan.
Careful, old man. That way lies bad work.
You know what, Torp? I don't care. I want the power, I want the fun, and above all, I want the money.
The papers called your exhibit a Wild West show.
Blast the papers. I sold every last shred of canvas. You know what? They think I'm a self-taught flagstone artist.
aren't you?
I studied for 2 years under Camus in Paris. He taught me every trick in the books.
Well, you are a fraud.
A success.
Same thing.
Look, Torp, you're a product of the rich. I'm an orphan. Everything I know, I've had to learn the hard way. I scrubbed floors for Camus so he'd give me lessons.
Camus doesn't work that way. He must have thought you had real talent.
Yeah. Go to the devil.
Why don't you paint something good, Dick? You can do it.
Good! What do the masses know about good? Give them what they know, and when you've done, give them the same thing over again with a new color in it. Here. Take a look at this. I call it a sketch I made outside El Maghrib. Rifleman in action.
You were never near El Maghrib.
Nobody but you and me knows that. I lured some drunk soldier up here last night and used him for a model.
Dick, no man born of woman is strong enough to take liberties with his public.
Well, I don't know any better. What can you expect from creatures born and bred in this foggy British light? Give them a crimson desert and it blinds them. They want furniture polish and I'll give them furniture polish.
You may fool them for a while, but not for long. The people know, Dick. In the end, they always know.
I can't even get angry with you.
It'd be better if you could. You turn your anger inward and it corrodes your soul. Well, where are you going now?
Out to walk a bit. It's getting a little close in here. And I don't mean the atmosphere. Good night. Oh. You might watch where...
Aye, you were charging along like a... Dick, is that you?
Maisie.
It is you.
Maisie!
Oh, Dick, Dick.
Let me look at you after all these years. Prettier than ever.
You look well, prosperous and sleek.
In all of London, meeting you like this.
I'm grateful to the fates. Where do you live?
Over there, south. Where do you?
North, across the park.
What do you do?
I paint.
No.
Yes? What do you do?
Haven't you heard?
No.
I paint too, doing quite well.
Really? I've been in Paris till recently, studying. Oh.
Do you live alone?
No, I've a girl with me. Oh, don't walk so fast, Dick. You're out of step.
Yes, I seem to be. Do you sell much?
Oh, heavens, no. Oh, this is my bus, Dick, and there isn't another for an hour, and I'm on my way to a lesson.
Oh, don't go.
Well, I must.
Meet me in the park tomorrow, then. Marble Arch.
Well...
Meet me. Say you will.
All right, Dick.
12 noon, Marble Arch.
Dick.
Oh. You've come.
But did you think I wouldn't?
I didn't know.
What's got into you?
Oh, I'm a cynic, I suppose. Let's see you in daylight. Oh, yes. Nothing's changed, has it?
We're grown up?
Not really. I felt just like the time I fastened your hair into the snap of a handbag.
You were horrid.
You used to smile more then. Something worrying you?
Worrying myself, I guess. I just don't seem to get on with my work.
Have you done much?
Oh, yes. I hope to exhibit this year.
Where?
The Salon.
You fly high.
I've been beating my wings a long while. Where do you exhibit, Dick?
I don't exhibit.
Well, what do you do?
I sell.
What's your line?
You mean you really haven't heard? Come along.
Where?
Just come along. I want to show you something. Come on now. See the crowd before the window of that print shop?
What are they looking at?
Come along.
He's chucked off the lead horse in that painting. That gun would go off to one side, sure.
Oh, I don't know. His foot's braced proper.
Oh, he sure can paint, can't he? I never seen a horse what looked more like... Well, horsey.
Are those your pictures they're talking about, Dick?
All mine. Look at their faces, will you? It hits them. They don't know what makes their mouths fly open, but I know. I put it there. It's right.
Yes, I see.
Don't you like them?
Oh, yes, Dick. It's fine to have such success. How do you come by it?
I wanted it, so I took it.
I wanted it terribly and had none at all.
Perhaps I've enough for both of us.
I don't follow you, Dick.
Maisie, what I'm I'm going to say may sound a bit absurd. But those 10 years we were apart, they never existed. Everything's the same.
Oh, no, you've had your success. I haven't tasted mine.
I've enough for both of us. Maisie, can't you see you're alone and I'm alone? What's the use of all this striving? Come to me. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand it. But I have my work to do.
Do it with me, then. I won't interrupt.
No, it wouldn't work. I'm going to do this all alone.
Don't you remember that time at the shore?
I remember as well as you, Dick. And I cherish those years. But we were babies then.
Oh, Maisie.
Don't be selfish, Dick.
Selfish?
I think I see my way to a little success next year. Don't take it from me.
Same old Maisie. We've both wills of our own, huh? Will you see me tomorrow?
If you like.
I like. I'll come by at 3. We'll go to the ocean. There it is. The ocean. Remember when we used to run along the beach and play?
Oh, Dick, it hasn't changed. The air's so clean and fresh. I feel 10 years old.
Maisie.
Don't, Dick.
Darling, please.
Oh, Dick, do be sensible. It isn't my fault. If I felt I could love anyone, it would be you. But I don't. I can't.
I suppose I'm a nuisance. You must forgive a man in love. He's always a nuisance.
Oh, Dick.
Maisie, if you could come with me away from this fog-ridden England, I could show you things such as you've never seen. Tropic islands like diamonds, alive with hot, moist orchids making mouths at you. And a waterfall 300 feet high like a sliver of jade. And bees and coconuts and parrots criticizing you.
Oh, I shouldn't like that. Take me somewhere else.
There's a big, red, dead city built of sandstone in the desert. And there are 40 dead kings there, each in a tomb finer than the next. There are palaces with carved doors where nobody lives, except a peacock and a black monkey.
Is that true?
I've been there. I've seen it. Maisie, darling, come with me. Let me show you the world as it is, lovely and horrible, and all it cares about is painting and making love.
Oh, if you could only paint like that. If you could work those things into a canvas.
Is that what it means to you? I want to live it, not paint it.
Suppose I were to come to you.
If you were...
No, be quiet. Just as I am, and caring just as much and no more. Suppose I said, take me to those places, and in time I might really care for you. What would you do?
Send you right back in a cab. No, I'd let you walk.
You see, you don't really want me.
What'll you do?
Go back to work for a while, at least.
I'll give you a hint, then. Stick to money. There's nothing in the world more ghastly than poverty.
You've plenty of pennies now.
I shall never have enough, and I shall always be threatened short of my accounts.
Why threatens?
I carried a man's bag once from Liverpool Station to Blackfriar Bridge. It was a sixpenny job.
Oh,
you needn't laugh. I wanted the money desperately. He gave me threepence. No more. So you see, whatever I make, I'll never get that threepence out of the world.
There's your threepence, Dickie.
Oh.
Are you paid now?
I am. And now, I suppose there's nothing left to do but close the account. Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye, Dick. Goodbye.
I've slipped my cable, messmates, and I'm drifting down the tide.
See it, Pinky boy, see it.
marvelous, you're a great little doggy, though your background be a trifle mixed. Another chorus now.
What the devil is that racket?
Ah, Top, my friend. Come in.
Where did you get this bedraggled little dog?
Mr. Top, now meet Mr. Binky. We are partners in grief.
Oh, so she's left you.
Sail for France.
I told you you'd come to this.
You are right, Talk, my boy, but a prophet has no honor in his own country. You were right. I was wrong. And Binky, take the hindmost. Tell me, is he not a most magnificent animal?
He needs a bath.
I shall bathe him in tears.
What's happened? Tell me.
She's gone to France. And I'm free. I almost made a fool of myself. Almost. Oh, but Top. Maisie's gone. She's gone.
How do you feel, Dick?
All right.
You've been on quite a toot.
Have I?
3 days.
Oh. Where's Binky?
Sleeping.
Poor little pup. Whew. I need a bath. What's the matter?
There's someone sleeping in the living room.
Who?
A girl.
Good heavens, was I outdoors?
No.
I don't remember any girl.
She isn't your girl.
Whose is she?
Nobody's.
Well?
She collapsed on the street front steps as I was coming in this morning. Want of food. I gave her a meal and put her to sleep.
What's she like?
Pretty cheap.
Let's see. Ooh. Oh, ooh, my head. Well. Tuppenny sailor hat, blue dress in January. Look at her shoes. This one's been done in her luck.
I suppose I should have turned her over to a policeman.
Look at that face. Not an ounce of immorality in it. Only folly. Slack, fatuous, feeble, futile folly. Typical. Notice how the skull begins to show through the flesh padding on the cheekbone.
What a cold-blooded barbarian you are. She was simply dropping with starvation. She fell into my arms, and when we got home, she ate like a wild beast.
Is she going to sleep forever? Hey. Hey, miss!
Oh.
Feeling better?
Oh, yes, thank you. There aren't many gentlemen as kind as you.
When did you leave service?
How do you know?
Your hands.
I was a general servant till I resigned.
Like being your own mistress better?
Do I look like I like it?
I suppose not. Turn your face to the window. Go ahead.
Like this?
Fine. Look at those eyes, Top. Superb. This head has been sent to me from heaven to make up for Maisie. Now that the strain is over, I can get to work. Raise your chin a little. Raise it!
Don't let him hit me, sir. Please.
Dick, you're scaring her.
I've been it cruel today because I spoke to a man. And don't let him look at me like that. It's wicked. I feel like I had nothing on.
Nobody's going to hurt you. Listen to me for a moment. I'm what they call a professional artist.
Then what draws pictures on pop shop labels?
I haven't risen to pop shop labels yet, but I do want to draw your head on canvas.
Whatever for?
Because I want to. You will come to the room across the landing 3 mornings a week at 11, and I'll give you 3 quid to sit for me.
3 quid for just sitting? Oh, how my.
Remember the place. By the way, what's your name?
Bessie.
Bessie what?
What's the difference?
What's the rest?
Broke. Bessie broke. Stone broke, if you like. Yeah. You're making fun of me about that 3 quid, ain't you?
Be here at 11 tomorrow. Don't wear that paint. I've all the colour you'll need. Now, if you're feeling strong enough, here's your coat.
I'll be here tomorrow.
Good. Off with you.
Well.
Well, what?
I didn't think you charitable, Dick.
I'm not. I need the lady for my masterpiece.
Your what?
My Melancholia.
What's that?
I just told you. I'm going to paint something. A woman's head. I'm going to put into it all the eternal sadness and grief any man has ever felt. Don't you see it in her eyes? Terror and grief and futility and sorrow and rage, all there. All Top, I'm going to do a painting the likes of which you've never seen. 2 keys of orange and black. But I can't stand here and talk to an empty stomach. Come on, let's eat. Binky! Binky! Ah, that's my little pup. Come along. We're going to work.
From Hollywood, the NBC Theater is bringing you a dramatization of The Light That Failed by Rudyard Kipling. If you are interested in supplementing your enjoyment of these NBC Theater productions with home study under college supervision, be sure to listen to the announcement at the close of this program. And now, our intermission commentator, Mr. Henry Outland.
60 years after his first meteoric fame, critics are still divided on Rudyard Kipling. Some lofty brows hesitate to admire him. They fear he is too dated or was once too imperialistic. Even his thick and thin advocates shy away from giving him his final place in letters. But they need not worry. Kipling didn't. He figured time, and only time, could settle that. In November 1921, when he was 56, I asked him some questions. That afternoon, in a ceremony which only Paris could stage at the Sorbonne, he was named Honorary Doctor of Letters and hailed as the world's best-known writer. Kipling the man, what was he like then? That evening, at a large private reception in Neuilly, on shaking his hand, I said, "Mr. Kipling, years ago I read, not in your English, but in a French translation, your paper on smells." Seizing impulsively my coat lapel, he replied in his sharp, intense speech, "My dear fellow, that's the best thing I ever wrote." "Where can I read it in your own words?" "Only in the bulletin of the Royal Geographical Society, where I give it as a talk." Later, I mentioned a famous Frenchman, often accused of plagiarism. "You know," Kipling retorted, smiling, "we are all a pack of thieves." Behind thick glasses and under brows that would make John L. Lewis's seem scanty, his eyes were kind, searching, witty, mocking, and incredibly shrewd. As he spoke, his tense body swayed. When people smothered him with compliments, he froze. Otherwise, all evening, he was like a schoolboy on vacation. For his first novel, The Light That Failed, Kipling got $800 when it appeared in 1891 in Lippincott's magazine, and he had to give it a happy ending. Many have wept over its moving passages, but neither the critics nor the larger public acclaimed it as they later did that story of Kim, or the Jungle Books, and much else. Kipling the versifier, who had moments of poetic splendor, the revealer of India, the spokesman of empire, the advocate of doing a good job, the prophet of trials to come, the supremely gifted storyteller, will he endure? Who now has the vision to say confidently that the best of this amazing craftsman will not survive? Meantime, in a vastly changed world, this extraordinary observer, this magician of words, this great technician, holds an immense public.
Thank you, Mr. Outland. Our radio version of The Light That Failed will continue from Hollywood after a brief pause for station identification.
Hold still.
You ought to let me take some things home to mend.
Turn your head a trifle more to the light. Good.
Mr. Torpenhow wears his socks out at both ends.
How do you know?
Oh, he's been having me in for tea once or twice.
Oh. Really?
Don't look at me like that. You look regular bad when you look at me that way. You don't think much of me, do you?
I don't think of you, period.
Mr. Torpenhow likes me. Says I've a pretty way.
Hold still, blast you! So, you've been seeing Torp in his rooms.
He says I might come to be his housekeeper.
Oh, good Lord.
Not for always. Oh, I know I'm Miss Wrong, but But till Miss Wright comes along, I'd work my fingers to the bone for him.
He'll be ordered off to Africa if there's a war.
Till he goes, then.
I don't believe you. I think you're making it all up.
Why don't you ask him?
I will, by heaven. Now, that's all for today. Come back tomorrow.
I don't see your right to interfere, Dick.
Who's interfering? Your own senses tell you you're being a fool about Bessie. Come on, Top. Don't play St. Anthony on the rack.
All right. I oughtn't to have seen her moving about these rooms as if they belonged to her. That's what upset me. Gives a lonely man a sense of yearning, and heaven knows you've been worse than no company at all since you moved in.
Do you want her?
I do, and I don't. I'm confused. I know I shouldn't see her, but I do see her. What can I do?
You're going on a tour, a brilliant season abroad to regain your tone. Tomorrow. Come on, pack.
But I... What's the matter?
Nothing, just a little dizziness. Been working too close, I suppose. My eyes go out of focus.
Maybe you ought to come along with me.
And leave the melancholia? Oh, no. This is the one, Top. The one truly good thing I've ever done. Go along and pack. I'll be along to help you when my eyes have cleared.
All right. I say, you ought to see a doctor if your eyes are that bad.
All right, Mr. Heldow. Follow this light. Fine. That's good. How long have you had that scar on your forehead?
Well, 2 years.
How did you get it?
Sword cut from an Arab in the Egyptian campaign.
Oh, I see. You evidently had your frontal bone pierced.
I don't know. How am I?
Mr. Heldar, if I were you, I would exercise extreme caution. Avoid all mental anxiety. Try to relax and avoid use of your eyes.
What are you telling me?
Well, evidently there's been some nerve involvement.
Look, I'm a painter, Doctor. I don't waste time. Tell me the truth.
All right, sir. Mr. Haldar, you're going blind.
Say, you have a drink?
Some brandy, do?
Anything. How long do I have?
Oh, perhaps a year. If you avoid worry and strain.
Thank you. I wonder if I might sit here for a moment. You've been very good. Very good. So, this is how it feels. I've often wondered. Well, Binky, we've got it very badly. We're to be shut up in the dark. We must be calm, very calm. What shall we do? We must do something. Our time is short. Binky, come here, Binky. Let me pet you. Let's see, there's the melancholia. That's it. All those studies of Bessie's head, so much nonsense. No. There shall be Maisie in that head, because now I shall never have her any other way. And she shall laugh, Binky. She shall laugh right out of the canvas, and every man and woman with sorrow of their own shall understand. Come here, Binky boy. Come here. Here. You and I shall have a drink, and then to work.
Six weeks drinking like a fish. And I have to sit here on this stand and take your abuse.
It's almost finished, Bessie Bell.
And you pretend you're better than me. Drunken beast, that's what you are.
Don't move yet.
Just wait till Mr. Torpenhow comes back.
When's that?
I had a letter from him.
You're lying again.
He'll be back soon. Says he can't wait to see me.
Then we'll finish tonight. You'll stay.
I will not.
I'll give you 3 weeks' pay.
I hate you.
I wonder if you do.
Always sneering and making me feel like a cheap woman.
That, my dear Bessie, is exactly what you are. Exactly.
Mr. Torpenhow.
Hello, Bessie. Where's Dick?
Inside, finishing his painting.
How are you, Bessie?
All right. I got your letter.
Oh, yes, yes.
You said you wanted to see me and talk to me.
Well, as a matter of fact...
You are going to let me stay on, aren't you?
Well, not exactly.
What do you mean?
I've had some time to think, Bessie.
Well?
I've decided you can't stay here. It wouldn't be right.
Oh, so it's that now.
Let's talk later, Bessie. I want to see Dick. Come along.
Must be a man of decent height. Must be a man of weight. Must come home on a Saturday night and a thoroughly sober...
Dick!
Torp! Gilbert Belling Torpenhow, Esquire.
Drunk as a lord.
He's been that way for 6 weeks.
Look, she's done, Torp. I finished it. Look at her. Isn't she a beauty? You've come just in time. Isn't she a darling? I've done it. I've been down to hell to get her, but she was worth it.
It's magnificent. A real work of art, Dick.
She's for every man who's some sorrow of his own. Well, she's done. Take away the whiskey, Torp, for serve me well.
You've painted this drunk?
I have.
But why?
Send Bessie away and I'll tell you.
Well, fine, thanks.
I'll talk to you later, Bessie.
You will that. Write me fine words and treat me like dirt.
Later, Bessie.
And I'll want my 3 months' pay, too.
Whew. There's murder in that girl's eyes. Well, now, what's it all about, Dick? Are you in some trouble?
I am, Torp.
It must be pretty grim to keep you drunk for 6 weeks.
I'm going blind, Torp.
What?
Stone blind. Can't see much now, but I do my best work when I'm drunk. Clears my sight.
Have you seen a doctor?
Best in London. Is that old sword cut damaged the nerve?
Good Lord.
See, Torp, I had to do one decent job before it happened.
Yes, I see.
Now I'm terribly tired. I think I'll lie down. Do you mind?
No, I'll go in with you. Oh, it's you.
It's me.
I thought we told you to skip.
I have some work to do first.
What are you doing at that turpentine?
Come over here and I'll show you.
If you... Oh, no. No, you couldn't. Not even you.
I have. Well, how do you suppose he'll like his masterpiece now that I've rubbed the face off of
you it? You devil, you cold-blooded, murderous little devil.
Insult me, will you? Treat me like dirt and throw me out. Well... That's what I think of you and your drunken friend and his great masterpiece.
He mustn't see this. It would kill him.
I hope it does.
You little minx, get out of here. Get out. Get out before I strangle you.
Keep away from me.
Get out. Get out of here. Out. Out. Beside you.
Torp, don't go away. I'm in the dark. Light the candle, please, Torp.
I'm holding the candle right before you.
Light it, Torp, please.
It is lit, Dick.
But it's black. Black. I feel as if I'm falling.
Steady, Dick.
Sit with me, Torp. Maybe if I keep very quiet, the darkness will go away. It's got to go away, Torp. It must.
Sit here a moment. I get a blanket. I'd better sleep in here tonight. You'll be all right in the morning, Dick.
No. No, I'm blind, Torp. I'm blind. blind. No. Let me go, Top. We mustn't let them think we're afraid, must we? All the powers of darkness and that lot.
Lie down, Dick. It's all over now.
Would you mind letting me hold your hand? I feel as if I wanted someone to hold on to. Top, I feel as if I'm slipping.
Let it go, Dick. Don't hold back.
It's helped and must be eaten.
Try to rest. Dick, Maisie. Get a grip. Get a grip.
Maisie.
Who's Maisie?
She's a girl I used to know. She studies in France with Camille. Great painter. Top. Oh, Top. Imagine me having to feel for the gutter with one foot.
Tomorrow you'll be better.
Don't joke, I'm blind.
Accept it, then.
Yes. Accept it. Top.
Yes, Dick.
Let's curse God and die.
Dick.
Well?
Are you going to sit here with this painting for the rest of your life?
How long have I been here?
A week now.
Funny. When I run my hands over the canvas, the face seems to have dried flat. Different from the way I painted it. It is good, isn't it, Top? Oh, I know it's good. Better than good.
Well, why don't you let me take you out for a walk?
Leave me alone. How often must I remind you? I'm blind.
You just can't rot here.
I can if I choose.
All right, Dick. If you're so blamed independent, I might as well tell you I'm going off for a few days.
Go ahead. Run off. You'll be back soon. You know, I'm touched with temper, but I can't get along without you, Top.
You shall have to learn, Dick, for your own good.
Where are you going?
London. There's another war cooking up in the Sudan, and I should be sent there if it happens.
A war?
A small one.
But if you go...
That's why you must begin to take hold of yourself, Dick. There are thousands of blind men and women who do it, you know. Will you try to go out? I'll ask Mr. Beaton, the landlord, to step in twice a day for you. Will you try, Dick?
All right, Top. I'll try.
One more step now, Mr. Elder.
Thank you, Mr. Beaton. Thank you.
You've been getting around quite admirably since Mr. Torpenhow left.
Yes, yes, I surprised myself.
Well, here we are. Hello, your door is open.
Oh, you don't suppose Mr. Torpenhow is back, do you?
Might be.
I'll go in alone, I can manage now. Thank you.
I'll be by at supper hour.
Thank you. Top? Top, is that you?
No, Dick.
Who is it?
It's only me, Dick.
Maisie? Why, what are you doing here?
I came to see you, please.
Oh. Won't you sit down? I've had a little bother with my eyes. Nothing at all, really.
I know. All about it.
You know?
Yes. You should have written.
But how did... Oh. Torpenhow.
Yes.
He wrote you.
He came to France to bring me here. He thought I should see you.
Why? Is anything wrong? Can I do something for you?
Oh, Dick. Poor, proud Dick. I'm so sorry.
Don't be. I'm not a child. I'm no good now, down and done for. That's that. I could kill Top for telling you.
Well, I...
I suppose next you'll be asking me to marry you.
No. I wish I could, but I can't. Oh, Dick.
There. Now, for pity's sake, Maisie, don't cry.
You ought to hate me, Dick. I hate myself.
Maisie, there's no need to reproach yourself. You're under no obligation to me.
I wanted so to come. I had hoped when I saw you I'd realize I loved you. But I...
There now. That's better. Here, take my handkerchief.
Thank you. Dick... Dick, is there anything I can do for you? I could stay in England if you like. We could have walks and talks and...
No, Maisie, it would be kindest if you didn't see me any more.
I've made such a mess of things.
Nonsense. You've done nothing but tell the truth.
I suppose I ought to leave.
Yes. Oh, by the way, before you go, there's something I've been meaning to give you. Nothing much, but... Well, I think you'll like it. Would you help me into the studio?
Yes.
Right across the hall. It's something I painted just before this trouble caught me. I call it Melancholia. I'd like you to have it. Wait till I slip this cover off. There. Well, left you a bit breathless, eh? That's my masterpiece.
Oh.
Well?
Oh, Dickie, it is good.
You'll have it then?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. It's very beautiful.
Come along, Binky. Come along. We cross here.
Can I help you cross, sir?
Hello. Bessie, isn't it? Bessie Broke? No, don't let go.
I didn't know it was you, Mr. Eldar. You're...
Blind. I'll wager you didn't know it was me. Going anywhere in particular?
Oh, I was going for a walk.
Not back in the old business, are you?
Oh, Lord, no. I paid in my premium. I'm a maid at a bar now, and quite respectable, too.
Well, I'm afraid I must ask you to help me home. I'm quite lost.
Oh.
If you're afraid, I'll call a policeman.
No. I'll take you home, Mr. Eldar. But do you really want me to?
Why shouldn't I?
Oh, I don't know.
Let bygones be bygones.
Oh, I'm glad you feel that way. Where's Mr. Torpenhow now?
He's been at the wars for about 6 months now. Africa.
Oh.
Whatever made you disappear so suddenly, Bessie?
Well, I didn't think you'd want me about any more.
Well, I didn't, as a matter of fact.
How long have you been like this?
Since the day after you went away.
Oh. Oh, then you never saw your painting after I left?
Never. Never, except in my mind.
Oh. Oh, well, here we are at your number. Shall I take you upstairs?
Do. Stay a while and we'll have some tea and muffins. Well, it's good to hear a woman moving about the rooms again.
Lord, this place is dirty. Here, let me dust a bit.
dust away if you like. Tell me about your success at the bar.
Oh, never mind that. I'm quite respectable. But you don't seem to live too well. What made you go blind that sudden? Why isn't there anyone here to look after you?
Bess, how'd you like to work here as my housekeeper?
Do you mean that?
Never meant anything more.
But you never liked me.
Oh, didn't appreciate you.
Well, well...
Go on, say you'll do it. I need a woman's touch around me. I never realized until I heard your voice how lonesome I've been since Torp left. Would you do it?
Well, there's something you ought to know before I say yes.
What's that?
You remember when I was very angry with you when Mr. Torp and I was away?
Well, you had a right to be. I baited you terribly.
Then I... You're sure Mr. Torp and I didn't tell you?
Tell me what? You're certainly making a fuss. Tell me what?
How I rubbed out the picture with turpentine.
What?
Please, you're hurting my wrist.
Say it again.
I rubbed out the picture with turps and a knife. I thought you'd only have to do it over again. You did do it over again, didn't you? Please, you're hurting me.
And there was nothing left?
Nothing that looked like anything. I'm sorry. I didn't know it meant so much to you. Please, you aren't going to hurt me.
Hurt you? I ought to kill you. No, no, let's think a moment. So that's it. Maybe it's an omen, Bessie, and a good many things considered, it served me right. So, that accounts for Maisie's running away. She must have thought me completely insane. What made you do it, Bess?
Because I was that angry. But I'm not angry now. I'm dreadful sorry.
Well, it doesn't matter now. I'm to blame. Good heavens. To think a little piece of dirt like you could throw me off stride.
I ain't a piece of dirt. You've no call to say so. I did it because I hated you. And I'm only sorry now because you're...
Exactly, because I'm blind. Nothing like tact in little things. God, don't cry. You only did what you thought was right.
I ain't a piece of dirt.
No, 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 you aren't. Though you mayn't know it, the Lord is a just and terrible God, Bess. Serves me right. What an enormous amount of mischief one little woman can do.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not. I'm grateful to you. You can help now in what I have to do.
What's that?
I'm going away.
Alone?
Alone.
But you said you couldn't do without me.
That was true a little while ago. I'm better now, thank you. Come, get my hat.
Where are you off to?
You're going to take me to the bank and then a travel bureau. And then you're going to put me aboard a boat for North Africa.
North Africa?
Yes, Bessie, my love. I'm off to the wars.
Port Said, sir. Let me help you, Mr. Elder.
Thank you, steward.
Can I take you somewhere, sir? I've got a few hours' leave.
That's very kind of you.
Oh, not at all, sir. You've been more than generous to me.
Well, then, if you could get a cab and drop me at the Camel Market.
The Camel Market, sir?
Yes. You see, I'm thinking of a journey into the desert, and I'll need a good camel and driver.
How far are you going, sir?
Swakin. That's where the 5th Camel Corps is fighting, I understand.
It's quite dangerous out there, I hear.
Well, I have an old friend who's expecting me. Name of Torpenhow.
The correspondent?
You know him.
Oh, I've read his stuff in the mail. Well, here we are, sir. Cab. Cabby. Cabby. Here's a fellow with a camel for hire, Mr. Elder.
Good, good. Peace with thee, brother. What is thy name?
Ismail Effendi.
I want a beast and driver to go to the fighting lines tonight.
Muled?
Abisharin. Abisharin without saddle galls.
Oh, fighting lines, very dangerous, and my camel is knee-haltered for the night.
I have English money.
How much?
£25 paid into your hand at the journey's end.
There is much danger.
£30.
And there is word an attack will soon be launched.
35, not another.
Stand back from my beast. I slip him.
Wait, wait. Let me feel the cheek of the beast. Ah, aye. A bisharin. Cut him loose. And remember, no blessing of God comes on those who try to cheat the blind.
Oh, Ismail cheats on no one. Stand back. Law! Oh, we will mount now.
You'll be all right, sir?
Fine, fine. Here, for your trouble.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Oh, ooh, rice.
Goodbye, Mr. Helder.
Goodbye. Go, Ishmael, and in God's name, go swiftly.
So, go forward, child of the pit. Arr-ar-ar-ar. Night grows cold, Effendi.
Is there a moon?
She is near her setting, Effendi.
I wish I could see her. I hear the desert talking.
Agri, stop.
What is it?
British troops are behind this hill.
Well, go on.
Ooh, we shall have to run across the open space.
Run then, hurry.
Go, little one. Run like the wind.
Tarp! Tarp, don't shoot, it's me! Dick!
We are inside the line now, Effendi.
Halt! Who the devil are you?
Where's Torpenhow?
You might have been killed. There's a charge for me.
Good. I'm looking for Torpenhow. Hey, Torp!
Who's calling? Dick. Good heavens, Dick. How did you get into this mess?
Just made a run for it.
Get off that camel before you kill. There's a charge for me.
And I'm just in time.
Come down off there.
Which way is the enemy?
Dick, don't be a fool.
Never mind. I can hear their shots. I'm going out there.
Dick, come down. Dick!
My pup! Out there! Hup! Hup! Hup!
Dick! Dick! Come back! Come back! Dick! Dick. Dick, why did you do it?
Am I shot up badly?
You'll be all right.
It doesn't hurt, Torp. Really?
Oh, Dick, you're such a fool.
Always was.
Here. Take a drink of this. We'll get a surgeon.
Yeah. Never mind, Torp. It's getting light all around me. Getting so blinding light.
Steady, Dick.
Hold my hand, Torp.
Easy now.
Torp, I can see. I can see the sun. Torp, I can see the sun. I can see.
Poor Dick. There is no sun today.
Then we brought the lances down, then the bugles blew, when we went to Kandahar, riding two and two, riding, riding, riding.
You have been listening to The Light That Failed, an NBC theater production of the novel by Rudyard Kipling. If you wish to increase your knowledge and appreciation of literature, we suggest that you might enjoy the college-supervised courses now being offered in connection with the NBC Theater. For full information, write to NBC Theater in care of one of the following universities or colleges: the University of Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky; the University of Tulsa, Tulsa, Oklahoma; Kansas State Teachers College, Pittsburgh, Kansas; Washington State College, Pullman, Washington; the University of Arizona, Tucson, Arizona; Texas College of Arts and Industries, Kingsville, Texas; and Brooklyn College, Brooklyn, New York. You also have a chance to win a set of the famous Encyclopedia Britannica. Several of the universities and colleges offering these courses are giving the Encyclopedia as prizes to the students doing the best work. Enroll in a supervised course and you may be one of the fortunate ones to win the Encyclopedia Britannica. Be with us at the NBC Theater next week for a radio adaptation of Victory by Joseph Conrad, and the following week for a radio version of John Galsworthy's The Patrician. The Light That Failed was adapted for the NBC Theater by George Lefferts. Our intermission commentator was Henry Outland, whose commentary was recorded. In today's cast, Dan O'Herlihy was Dick, Eileen Erskine was Maisie, Tom Dillon, Torpenhow, Eric Snowden was a doctor, Marlene Ames was Maisie the Child, and John Ramsey Hill was Dick the Child. Alec Harford was Rowley, Ramsey Hill was the camel driver, Queenie Leonard was Bessie, Crawford Kent the steward, Tudor Owen was Mr. Beaton, and Earl Keane was the animal sounds. Your announcer, Don Stanley. The director of the NBC Theater is Andrew C. Love. This program came to you from Hollywood. What's on NBC today? Well, next on NBC, you'll hear America's favorite, One Man's Family. For 18 years, listeners have lived with the joys and sorrows of the Barber family. Today's episode of One Man's Family is a day of jubilation as the family celebrates Father Barber's 75th birthday. Stay tuned now for One Man's Family on NBC. You're tuned for the stars on NBC.